Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again. Time for the Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. This is your host, Sam DeMarco, and as usual, I am joined in studio by my trusty executive director, John Schneider, and by our producer, Dazzling Dandy Daryl Grandy. Guys, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Sam.
Now, folks, I think we have a great show for you today because we're going to get back to really what our roots were. When we started this show over 2 years ago, the intent was to give candidates the ability to come on the show to introduce themselves to you, our listeners. And these are candidates that maybe aren't getting all the publicity that other candidates in higher profile races, like running for president, running for U.S. Senate, or even Congress get. These are folks who are running for Pennsylvania State Senate, Pennsylvania State House, and other local and municipal races. So I'm very happy today to be joined in the studio by a gentleman, Nathan Wolf, who is candidate for Pennsylvania State House in the 30th Legislative District. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Sam.
Well, we're glad you're able to join us. Now Nathan, I've had the opportunity to get to meet you and get to know you a little bit, but many of our listeners haven't. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been a business owner and mechanist for 32 years. Mm-hmm. Worked that with my father and my mother. My father recently passed away.
Still continuing that business going.
I appreciate that, Sam. I'm also a state constable for McCandless Township. I serve everywhere from McCandless all the way down through the north side, including McKees Rocks and Stowe Rocks. So it's an interesting adventure. I'm also a father and a husband.
Well, how many children do you have?
I have two little girls. One just eight, just turned eight yesterday, and the other is 12.
Oh, wow. So you have your hands full, don't you?
I do.
You know? Well, what's your wife do?
My wife's actually a public school teacher.
Oh, wow. Okay. Great. So, you know, you have her instructing the students in school, and you when she comes home.
Yep, we kind of have our finger on the pulse of society, that's for sure.
Well, there you go. Now, hey, you just mentioned something interesting, Nathan. You talked about being a state constable for McCandless Township. Okay. What is involved in being a state constable? Help our listeners who have heard the term constable but don't necessarily know what it means or what the job entails.
We actually have a litany of duties. We serve civil papers for courts. So if somebody's unfortunately getting sued or behind on bills with perhaps credit card companies, that's our job to unfortunately deliver that information to them. We also do landlord-tenant stuff. So if somebody's being evicted or behind on their rent, it's unfortunately our job to do those as well. Mm-hmm. We do prisoner transports. So somebody has a hearing in a magistrate's office, it's our job to pick them up down at Allegheny County Jail, transport them out to the magistrate's office. We keep those people safe and secure for the entire hearings, and then we return them back to the jail. Another thing we do a lot of is warrant service. So if the police are looking for somebody that they can't find, it's our job to locate those individuals.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Sounds like, you know, from what I hear, you may have taken and transported some of our Democrat House members.
I think we probably have by this point. You know,
so it's very interesting. You have your hands full. You're a small business owner. Mm-hmm. You're a state constable there. You know, a father and a husband. What made you decide to run for the candidacy to be the next state representative in the Pennsylvania House 30th Legislative District?
Well, you know, you see a lot of things in the community, particularly from the constable aspect, with drugs. They are absolutely destroying our communities. It's not just in the poor communities, it's in the wealthy communities too. Obviously, I'm out in McCandless. It's an upper middle class neighborhood. The drugs are as bad out there as they are in the inner cities. So I don't want that affecting my children. It's in the schools. We've got to get that under control. The other thing that we have to keep our fingers on all the time is the education system, right? It keeps going further and further left. I'm sending my kids to school to be educated, not indoctrinated. So that's really important to me.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, you also said, you mentioned McCandless Township a couple of times because you live in McCandless. Mm-hmm. Look, for our listeners, could you clarify and share with them what the 30th District encompasses? Because I know like Franklin Park and
sure,
others are in there.
Sure. So it's half of Hampton, so pretty much the west side of Hampton from Route 8 over. It's all of McCandless, Franklin Park, Ohio Township, Ben Avon Heights. So all of those areas in Emsworth as well.
Okay.
So it's a pretty large district.
Now, are you getting around? Are you knocking on doors?
I am. We've knocked on several thousand doors already.
Okay.
Every weekend, I'm out there for certain doing it. A couple times during the week when I don't have to start real early, which unfortunately is a lot of days. Right. I'm out there in the mornings, usually at least until noon. I'm just knocking on doors, meeting the people.
And what's the reception you're receiving as you knock on the doors?
You know, people are, they're scared right now, Sam. Honestly, you know, people are getting crushed by inflation right now. They're extremely worried about it because a lot of the people that I deal with are senior citizens. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing their bills going up and up and up. And that Social Security check still stays the same. It's really hard for them to make ends meet. So they're worried about putting food on the table and putting gas in the car. And it's getting more and more difficult as they go along.
Well, you certainly put your finger on the pulse of something that's affecting folks across this country,
mm-hmm.
and particularly here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as well in our districts. And that's the damage being inflicted upon families, and particularly seniors, anyone on a fixed income,
right,
by the out-of-control or soaring inflation. I mean, we have, in just the past 3.5 years, since President Biden's been in office, we've seen gas prices increase by over 50%.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen food prices increase by over 20%. Energy costs are up, and part of that is in combination with what Governor Shapiro is trying to do by keeping us or wanting to put us into Reggie.
Right.
You know, but other parts of this, mortgage rates are more than double
right.
what they were. And folks talk about affordable housing, but how can housing, you know, be affordable when, heck, you know, to buy a home today, the same price, your payment would be double what it was.
Absolutely.
Just 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we have some significant challenges. We need change at the very top, as well as, you know, change here in the state legislature. And with the Democrats holding basically a one seat advantage in the state legislature, they seem to be more intent on holding show votes up there. This past week, they had these two former Capitol Police officers who are traveling the state here for the Biden campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they had wanted to put some sort of show for them on the Pennsylvania House floor, and Republicans walked off, and the Democrats are trying to make a big deal about it. I saw progressive, far left Congressman Chris DeLuzio tweeting out, calling them turncoats. I don't know how refusing to take and stay for a Democrat political show or grandstanding all of a sudden makes you a turncoat.
Absolutely.
But that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, let's talk about, you mentioned why you wanted to run. You talked about what you're seeing from a cost perspective and how it's hurting our seniors. You talked about from an educational perspective. What are you seeing from a safety, public safety concern,
you know,
public safety issue?
A huge issue right now is the fact that our recidivism rate is astronomical. We are not fixing anything at the current moment. It's just a revolving door. So it used to be if somebody was arrested 3 times for a retail theft, the 3rd time was a felony.
Mm-hmm.
That's been completely thrown out the window. So they just keep reducing the charges. And consequently, we have a person, I can't say the name, but this young lady has been arrested 19 mm-hmm. times just in our location on retail thefts. Every time she goes into the store, it's a $1,500 hit for the store.
Wow.
So she goes in there within minutes. That same product is on her Facebook page for sale or on her Instagram page for sale. And that's how they continue to catch her. She's not even making an effort to try to hide the thefts anymore. She doesn't wear a mask going into the stores, goes in, takes what she wants, and leaves.
Is this person on drugs?
Almost 95% of the retail thefts that we deal with are drug-related. So okay. I honestly, if we could get a hold of the drug issue in Pennsylvania, you would reduce crime by 80% because it all circles back to drugs.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. What are you seeing out there in regards to mental illness?
Again, another huge problem. I transport probably in a neighborhood of 70 people a month and attend every one of those hearings. A huge issue that we have is mental illness. And at Allegheny County Jail, despite Bethany Hallam's words of wisdom, they are not helping those people because, again, it is a revolving door. They go in, they're lucky if they get their medications at best. they might get a sampling of them, and then they're just put back right onto the streets to do exactly the same things that we're seeing over again. I deal a lot with the homeless populations, and the true story behind that is it is almost all drug-related or mental health-related.
Well, we know. I mean, we talk about the homeless here and the situation we deal with in Allegheny County, and that 75%. Mm-hmm. And this is, folks, these are nationwide figures from nationwide studies. But 75% of the people that are out there are homeless are suffering from either drug or alcohol addiction or mental illness. Only about 15% of the folks that you see that are homeless on the street are there because of poverty.
Right.
You know, so we really need to address some of these other issues. And, you know, the progressive policies the Democrats continue to push nationwide as well as here locally, where they basically try to lower the punishment or the sentences for crimes that are committed, isn't doing anything to actually help these people. You know, it just allows them to go back out and repeat them. Right. You know, as Nathan, as you just reiterated when you talked about the young lady with 19, you know, retail thefts.
We're truly just enabling these people when we go through the same steps over and over again, and you put them back in. I have a great story if I could tell you real quick, Sam.
Sure.
First homeless gentleman I ever took to jail, I said, hey, look at it this way. You're going to have a roof over your head tonight and three meals. He said, listen, my friend, I panhandle every day. I make $200 to $250 a day panhandling. I still get a Social Security check. I can go to any one of 10 places and eat for free. I stay in a tent that you bought for me. I'll take being homeless. Boy, I'm wondering if I'm in the wrong line of work.
Wow. Well, it does put some of these things into perspective.
Sure does.
You know, now, that was that one person there. That may not be everybody. I'm
right.
Sure it's not everybody.
Right.
You know, but it just goes to show that there are a lot of folks out there that are working the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've always felt. As an elected official, I believe that it's incumbent upon us to be able to provide a safety net for
Absolutely.
Those that need it, okay? But and by that, I mean we need to be doing work from a human services perspective to reach out to these folks, identify the ones that are suffering from drug or alcohol addiction or mental health, and then direct them to where they can get help for those problems, you know, in the county, because you, the taxpayer, are paying millions of dollars in taxes for just that purpose. But what we also find is there are a lot of homeless people that don't want the help. They don't want to be bothered. They want just want to be left alone
mm-hmm.
to continue to do their life. So, well, and that's okay.
Right.
But at that point, then I believe my obligation to you ends.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. It's not my job to provide shelter or any other stuff.
Right.
You know, if you're not looking to get help, to be able to get back on your feet. So, but that's a whole nother matter here.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I have no problem with, there are times in people's lives when you need assistance. I remember one time when I was a little boy, my father was unemployed and we were on food stamps for a bit until he found another job. And I get that. And, you know, we graciously accepted the help from the government, but my parents took the right steps to get back into business and back into work.
I mean, listen, it's happened to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And for the folks that it hasn't, they know people that have.
Right.
I need those services, right? And so that's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you need them, you should be able to utilize them. But I think that, you know, again, we need to take and do things that actually solve some of the problems.
Correct.
As opposed to just putting Band-Aids on gaping wounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at the end of the day, we want to help people get back on their feet, become productive members of the society, and let them get back to living and tending with their family.
I agree.
You know, so let's talk about your opponent. Now, your opponent is a gentleman, Arvin Venkat.
Yes.
Now, Venkat was elected for the first time back in 2022. You know, and he defeated former county councilwoman Cindy Kirk. But this was a particular time when Democrats had a substantial edge in the mail-in ballots.
Yes.
You know. I would like to think the Republicans have made significant progress since then. I don't believe in 2024 that it's going to be the turnout is going to be an issue for us. I believe that the turnout will be there. But that still has got to concern you a little bit, right?
Absolutely. I mean, mail-in balloting is probably the main reason that we lost the last election. Mm-hmm. It was the first time ever that that seat had been flipped from a Republican to a Democrat. So I think we've got a better grasp on things now. We certainly understand the issues a lot better than the Democrats do. And I think the average person, particularly in our area, can associate and relate to what we are about versus what the progressive left is about.
And I think that's important. You know, folks, and one of the things that the left has done is in trying to take and elect, get leftists elected in Republican areas, is they run these folks that almost seem like Republican light, but are really wolves in sheep's clothing,
mm-hmm.
you know? And Harvin Venkat is one of those. I mean, here's a guy, a doctor,
mm-hmm.
okay? But I think I've seen him espouse, he wants Medicare for all and things of that nature. But I also saw him, he supported Sarah Inamorato, you know, for county executive, and Matt Dugan, a George Soros-funded prosecutor,
absolutely.
For district attorney. That's not what that district voted for.
No. And okay. She lost in our area, Sarah Inamorato, mm-hmm. by almost 2-1.
Yes.
So that it's the polar opposite of what the people in our area want. Certainly the more progressive areas may lean her direction, but definitely not out in the 30th district.
Well, how are we going to get that message out to the listeners there or to the folks in the 30th district so they understand just who this person is?
It's important for us to have, you know, obviously some campaign events so that mm-hmm. we can spread that word. Myself and our volunteers are door knocking like crazy. Again, we've hit a couple thousand doors at this point. We're going to keep doing that same thing, just working on the ground. The Democrats will outspend us 10-1 in this arena. Mm-hmm. That's okay. They can spend all the money that they need to. But the reality is we're going to work on the ground and get to seeing the people and talking to them and, you know, spending time with them and listening to what they need.
Okay. For the folks that are listening today, for the folks that are listening today and would want to help your campaign, you and your campaign, by either donating money or by signing up and volunteering, how would they go about doing so?
You can log on to our website. It's WolfPA, that's WOLFEPA.com. You can go on there and read a little bit more about me. You can also donate on that site as well.
Okay. And they have the ability to sign up? You have the ability to get
they do.
Sign up for volunteers there?
Our personal email is on there. My phone number is on there as well. You can always reach out to me if you'd like to volunteer. We'd love to have you.
Well, that's great. So, folks, you heard it there. If you want to help Nathan Wolf, you know, win Pennsylvania's 30th Legislative District, which is a heavy Republican area, and help put the Republicans back in the majority in the Pennsylvania House, that's the way to do it. You go to
wolfpa.com.
And, you know, don't forget, there's an E at the end of that wolf. WOLFEPA.com. So, listen, that's great. So, okay. So we talked a little bit about who you are,
mm-hmm.
a little bit about why you're running, just touched on your opponent here. Let's talk briefly on what would be some of the first things or bills or issues you would like to work on if you were to be elected?
You know, I think energy is huge in Pennsylvania. We sit on the largest natural gas supply only next to Texas in the United States, and we're not exploiting that. You know, we're sitting on a gold mine, and those are extremely good-paying jobs. The farmers that much of that oil is located on their land and the gas is located there as well are getting huge sums of money from the gas company. They're welcoming in those gas companies to come in. And unfortunately, the Shapiro administration is turning their nose up to them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to free that up. We need to really focus on that. You know, I know the big push now is electric cars. The reality is a car powered on propane or natural gas could do exactly what an electric car does, refuels in the same amount of time it takes to fill a conventional car, and will go further than an electric car
would. Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely.
And it produces almost no pollution.
And then also, there was just a study released from a gentleman at Pitt that had done a study that talked about how they're finding that in much of the fracking fluids here, they're finding lithium.
Mm.
And lithium is a key rare earth metal used in the manufacture of batteries.
Yes.
For electric vehicles and things like this. So there are a lot of benefits here, you know, to this, despite the fact that, or including the fact that it being a much cleaner burning fuel
mm-hmm.
than coal or some of the other things that that we've used for energy. And natural gas provides a reliable source of energy for our power grid.
Absolutely.
Whereas wind and solar don't, you know, wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine.
Not in Pittsburgh.
You know, certainly not in Pittsburgh, right? So we got to do something about that. So what else might you be interested in doing there if you were?
Obviously, I think we have to get our criminal justice system a little bit better under control. I've had the blessings of working with some amazing judges, but you also see from other areas where the judges aren't as good. And the problem is we're not holding people's feet to the fire. Again, if we can incarcerate a person for significant and severe crimes, you've kept society safe. Isn't that really the goal? That's why you have the police, right? So your main job is public safety. And the police are out there doing their job. Many of the judges are out there doing their job, but there's also some progressive judges, such as Mr. Right. Zander, who's letting people out on the streets back to doing exactly the same thing.
Well, look, we know we have a problem. We had a problem with Nick Pappas.
Yes.
You know, his decision was, I believe, was well placed. He was not suited for that role.
No.
Okay. And now we have Zander Orenstein, who, you know, hopefully he'll go the same way and decide not run for reelection. Okay. You know, I don't know that he's been approved yet to sit back on these cases, you know, from the president judge in Allegheny County because of his failure to hold so many people that are brought in on serious charges. He just puts them right back out on the street.
Yeah, there's no accountability.
No. And you know, I mean, I was just I was interviewed the other day here by a reporter, and we were talking about the recent protests out at the University of Pittsburgh. And I was explaining how I was disappointed that no one had been arrested for the vandalism, property damage, and, you know, violence. You know, although not significant, it was there.
The McCormick volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you saw that. They grabbed the backpack, trying to pull him in, arms on the throat, you know, and, you know, so he was talking, and I was explaining that failure to hold these people accountable just means you're inviting more of it.
You absolutely emboldened them.
You know, they will be back. And this protest, ladies and gentlemen, was far different than what you saw back in April. This was professionally done. And when I say professionally, I mean this was planned. It was organized. When these folks swooped in late Sunday afternoon, there were pickup trucks loaded with construction materials. These people leapt from these trucks. They had these construction materials, fencing, power tools, everything else to try to take over.
Right.
You know, and occupy, and it's an illegal occupation of private property. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of things. You see the protesters saying some things. You saw, I can't believe Mayor Ganey and County Executive Imerato out there talking about, you know, how they worked with these folks to defuse the situation when, you know, from all reports that I've received, ladies and gentlemen, were that the University of Pittsburgh had put out a mutual aid request because the police were overwhelmed. They were looking for help. And while some folks responded, the mayor and the county executive did not allow the city or the county police to participate. And you hear about the breakup there of the encampment, you know, being dispersed. I'm happy that those folks dispersed. I'm happy that no one was seriously hurt, whether it be an officer or whether it be a protester. But let's be clear, you know, those folks, those protesters left because they were informed that the state police, sheriff's office, and the university had the full intent to clear that encampment in the early hours of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't because of any great negotiating tactics on behalf of the mayor or the county executive. So, you know, as you heard on this show, ladies and gentlemen, much of the time through the past year, I talked about public safety suffering here in Allegheny County. And, you know, nothing has changed. And I only fear more to come. Again, holding no one accountable for the acts of civil disobedience and the things that they've done will only lead to more of this here. And again, we have a long summer in front of us, as well as a presidential election coming up here in November. Mark my words, you'll see more of it. So folks, we're going to be back after the break. We're going to talk some more with Nathan here, a little bit more about his race and what else, other happenings in the State House. But and we'll talk about some things here going on in Allegheny County. But we got to take a break to pay the bills. So we're going to do that here soon. This is Sam DeMarco on The Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and Talk 99.1 FM. Be right back. Welcome back, folks, to The Elephant in the Room. This is Sam DeMarco. We're here joined in studio. In addition to John Schneider and Daryl Grandy, we also have as our guest today a candidate for State 30th Legislative District for the Pennsylvania State House, Nathan Wolf. And Nathan, we were talking about a number of things. You were talking about, well, off the air here during the break, we were talking about, you mentioned about how you're seeing a lot more evictions today. Could you tell us, could you start at the beginning there what we were talking about and share that with our listeners?
Absolutely. When I started doing this about 10 years ago, Sam, we would do 1 to 2 evictions a month. That's now 10 evictions a month. Wait, the other thing that I told you earlier we were doing is a lot of civil service. So again, people being behind on their bills. You're seeing that 20 times now a month. That's rare. But it's our community never had those problems before. And it just, again, goes to show you how much people are getting infected by the inflation that's going on. They're just getting simply crushed by it. You know, it's $100 to fill up my pickup truck with gas now. It was never that way before.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, and that's something that you're seeing nationwide. I mean, they talk about credit card debt being at record levels.
Right. The highest it's ever been.
People were pulling more money out of their retirement plans than ever before. You know, so folks are trying to do what they can to make ends meet. But unfortunately, some folks don't have the backstop to be able to do that.
Right.
And they're being squeezed here. So when you look at that, it's like, what do we do and how do we help these folks? Because we talked earlier in the show here, you know, mortgage rates are double what they were. So just trying to buy a place is going to be ridiculous. Landlords' rents are up.
Absolutely.
Because of poor many of the reasons why, but I believe poor zoning policies, you know, have reduced the supply of available housing. And that therefore supply and demand, you know, the costs are able to go up. If we took and relaxed these housing requirements, like in the city here, where the mayor's demanding like inclusionary zoning, if we were to relax some of that and just to continue to add more units to the supply, because the population in Allegheny County and Pittsburgh is not growing, right? So rent would have to come down, at least in some areas for some units, because otherwise they would sit vacant.
Right.
I mean, it's really, I don't understand what folks fail to see, you know, from that perspective. So it's really perplexing, I guess, to me. And again, I point to things when I talk about public safety, you know, and some of the other things going on. I talk about poor leadership. But I think a lot of this boils down to that.
It does. And, you know, a big thing that people have to remember is, you know, back in the day, 4 years ago, you could rent a nice apartment for $1,000 a month, a really nice apartment. Now that same apartment is $1,600-$1,700. Where does a person get that extra $600 or $700 a month to pay for that apartment? It's a really challenging time, and it's challenging because of feckless leadership. So we have to focus on the people and what they need. And what they need is affordable living. And how do we do that? We provide them with good paying jobs. That's really critical.
Well, and now that's where we can play a role. It's about trying to provide job training programs to give the people the skill sets necessary to be able to take those jobs.
Right.
Okay. But I also hear people, and these are business owners. I was just talking to someone yesterday, talking about how difficult it is to find anybody to work.
It's incredible. Again, owning my own business, it's incredibly difficult to find employees. You're starting employees now at $20 an hour. And I just saw a mailer that came out to my house the other day from the Democrats that we're going to push for a $15 minimum wage. I can't understand how in anybody's right mind that they think that this is going to do anything positive for the working man, because the average guy that's already making $15 or $20 an hour in a skilled job is going, wait a minute, well, if he's making $20, I want to be at $30 or $40. What's that do? It causes inflation. Everybody's bills are going to go up mm-hmm. because those businesses have to pay those employees.
Well, I just saw a report this morning that in California, where they raised their minimum wage to $20 an hour, mm-hmm. they've already laid off over 10,000 workers.
Yep.
You know, one of their big food chains, Rubio's, which had over 48, or excuse me, they just closed 48 restaurants because they couldn't afford mm-hmm. you know, to pay that. And this is what folks don't seem to understand, that there's all, for every action, there's a reaction.
Absolutely.
You know, I look at Allegheny County, county executive on her second day on the job announced that she was raising the county wage, minimum wage, for all county workers mm-hmm. to, you know, it was $18 an hour immediately, but $22 an hour by 2027. And she said she was going to allow the unions a higher floor from which to bargain from. And it's like some people don't remember who they're supposed to be representing.
Right. Who's paying those bills?
They're supposed to be representing the taxpayers.
Right.
You know, and not the unions. The unions have great negotiators. Mm-hmm. They can do a good job, you know, bargaining, collective bargaining to get determine a fair wage.
Absolutely.
And without the county executive just giving it away.
Right. And you know, I have union members in my family. Obviously, my wife is at the union.
I was a union member, belonged to two different unions in my career.
My brother and both of his sons are in the 449 union, the Steamfitters. Fantastic organizations.
Oh, Steamfitters are great. Kenny
really
Broadbent,
are. Really
a great job.
Yep. Great people. So I have no issues with the unions. It's when you were saying, as the chief executive, hey, we're going to force pay to be higher at the taxpayer's expense. That's where I really have a problem for. I have no problem with unions, different companies competing with each other for the job, but don't put that on the taxpayers' back. That's between two companies, three mm-hmm. companies, however many companies want to bid on that job.
No, absolutely. I mean, boy, we got some challenges here. You know, so you're going to have your hands full, you know, if you're able to be successful and get to Harrisburg. And we just need to be able to get you the help and the resources for you to be able to get your message out, to be able to talk to the voters in the 30th district there and to beat Arvin Ventcat. He's got a lot of money.
He does.
You know, he's raising it from all these PACs and medical groups from across the country.
Interesting where all his money comes from.
Determined to try to keep him in office. And, you know, again, some of these folks are like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're not what they appear or what they seem to be.
Correct.
You know, they present this moderate view, but you have to look at how they vote, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
He
voted with Sarah Inamorato 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. And they say, what is it? You know, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely.
This is what you have to keep in mind when you're looking at these candidates this year to see, you know, I hear what they're saying, but what have they actually done?
Right. I mean, definitely, I have no personal issues with the gentleman. But he definitely speaks with a forked tongue because he says one thing and does the exact opposite.
Absolutely. Now, has he tried to attack you on abortion yet?
No, you know.
Oh, it's coming.
It's you know it is. And
it's coming.
You know, I deal with some pretty good people in my life, so
yeah.
I'm ready for that challenge.
Okay, good, good. So, you know, you talked about where people could go to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it you needed? If we said right now, what can we do to help? What would you say? What would you tell our listeners are the things that you could most use immediately
we can
to help your campaign?
Absolutely use more volunteers. We'll take everybody that we can get because the more people that we get, the better we can spread our word out there. And obviously finances, it's always a challenge in any political campaign, mm-hmm. Particularly for Republicans. Again, we're normally outspent 10 to 1. So we got to get people to put their money where their mouth is because I'm truly putting a lot on the line by doing this challenge here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I own my own business. You know, some of my customers aren't going to be real happy that I'm the Republican, you know, and I understand that. I never put my politics out there before. I never aspired to be in politics. But the way things are going, the only way that we can correct this for my kids and yours is by getting involved and putting our necks on the line.
Well, I, for one, am certainly glad that you've decided to get involved here. And, you know, it's unfortunate when people would allow decisions as to how they and whom they do business with to be based upon somebody's politics.
Sure.
But unfortunately, you see it out there.
You do.
And that's part of what's wrong with this world today. You know, I mean, this is America where everybody is supposed to be able to have their own opinion.
Right.
You know, I try to conduct myself at county council, you know, or am I dealing with other officials in that, with a, in a dignified way, in that if I disagree, the disagreement is issue-based.
Right.
Should never be personal.
Right.
Okay? And unfortunately, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the social media, you know, the 24/7 cable news, but mm-hmm. people are much more vicious today.
They certainly are.
And they're much more, like I said, they don't just choose to go in the other direction. They wanted to hurt and destroy you.
Right.
At the same time.
You know, and I think that's one thing you really see on the left versus the right. If we disagree with you, we disagree with you.
Right.
Right. We're not out there to personally destroy you. We're not out there to you know, make prank phone calls to your house and put stuff in your mailbox. Now, you don't see the right doing that, but the left is just, they've gone from the middle to the extreme. I don't quite get that. You know, I'm okay. I have plenty of friends who are Democrats. That doesn't affect them and my relationship. You know, the reality is we both love our families. We just have different ways that we want to serve them.
Right, and that was one of the things when I first got into politics years ago. I mean, we all want so many of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We want world peace. We want an end to world hunger. We want our kids to be safe and get a great education. We just fight like cats and dogs,
right,
over the tactics by which to achieve those objectives.
Exactly. And you know, you got to remember that the left benefits the most when they get everybody to hate each other. And the reality is I don't hate people.
Right.
Right. My neighbor, I have Asian neighbors, I have black neighbors. It doesn't matter to me. I like all of them equally. So the reality is I want what's best for all of our families, not just for some.
Well, and that's when I was in the Marine Corps. You know, we didn't have white Marines or black Marines or yellow Marines or red. We had green Marines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I walked on to the University of Pittsburgh for college football, you know, we didn't have black Pitt Panthers or white Pitt Panthers or, absolutely, you know, yellow Pitt Panthers. We had Pitt Panthers.
That's right.
Blue and gold Pitt mm-hmm. Panthers, right? I mean, we would be so much better as a nation. And it's a commonwealth, a county, and a community.
Mm-hmm.
If we were able to just focus on the things that we have in common.
Right.
Instead of always focusing on the things that separate us. But unfortunately, that's what the left is doing. I don't know if you saw, the New York Post was out with an article on John Fetterman, United States Senator from mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And he was saying that, you know, he no longer could be identified as a progressive. He said, you know, 10 years ago, that label fit.
Mm-hmm.
But it no longer does. And he said it's not because he's changed.
Right.
He believes that the progressive left has changed. And I think you see it with what the anti-Semitism that we've seen on college campuses.
Right.
You know, and again, we just had a protest this past week where these folks are out there claiming genocide, you know, in Gaza. And they clearly need to go back to school. Instead of just occupying school, mm-hmm. they might want to attend a class because that's not genocide.
Right.
It's taking place in Gaza.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, while you're there, mm-hmm. you know, but this is what we're dealing with.
Right.
And unfortunately, they're the loudest. You know, mm-hmm. squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Correct.
They're the loudest, you know, and but they're the same folks.
They are.
And when I see these protests, they're the same folks that come before us on county council complaining about any number of issues. Right. You know, Richard Nixon. And it was, I think, in his first term when he was running for election, coined the phrase, the silent majority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time, I think, for the silent majority, the people out there that are just looking for common sense,
right,
good government, low taxes, just because they believe that they should be able to keep more of right. what they earn.
Right.
Right. And need to step up and go out and vote.
Right.
Okay. Connect the dots, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely. I know it sounds nice when folks are telling you that, hey, we're going to spend billions of dollars and do this and billions of dollars and do that. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it's your billions of dollars they're spending.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money that you no longer have available to spend on your family. And, you know, if you talk to folks like Nathan, you know, other constables that may be seeing what he's seeing, people, you know, being forced out of their homes because they can't keep up.
Right.
Right? You'll recognize that something needs to change.
I think a big thing to remember too, Sam, is that, you know, if you look right now in the Senate, who's pushing the tax cuts? The tax cuts that they're trying to push through are Republicans.
Oh, yes.
And they're not doing it just for the wealthy. They're doing it for everybody. That's money that will go back in the Pennsylvanians' pockets where it belongs, right? If you're taking too much and you've got a surplus, then stop taking so much. Get your hand out of the working people's pockets.
Well, it's unfortunate that we don't have a media that'll do its job today. And I say that because Governor Shapiro is talking about this surplus, this rainy day fund that currently exists in Harrisburg. And he says, well, if you do everything I want you to do, you'll still have $11 billion in it by 2026, okay? And what he leaves out is he's taking and creating new programs.
That's right.
That will need to be funded. So yes, that money would be there in 2026, but you'd be broke.
That's correct.
By 2028, and taxes have to go up even further.
That's correct.
And you know, the state Senate came out with what you were talking about there, of the tax cut plan.
Yes.
To take that money and give it back to the taxpayers of Pennsylvania, which is a great idea, but we're also dealing with that at the federal level.
Yes.
You know, the Trump tax cuts for the middle class, they all expire here in 2025. So if they're not renewed, your taxes are going to go up significantly. And Joe Biden has promised not to renew them and to increase your taxes. You know, folks, right now we're running a true $2 trillion deficit. Inflation is out of control. They talk about, oh, inflation is down. Let me explain. The rate of inflation, the rate that inflation is increasing has slowed from the high of like 9% back in mid-2022. But it's still almost double what the Fed believes is sustainable, which is they look for a 2% or lower target.
Right.
Okay. This is only making your lives harder. Inflation is outstripping wage increases.
Absolutely.
And for those on a fixed cost, you know, Ethan, as we were talking about our seniors, people that are living on Social Security, mm-hmm. you know, it is absolutely devastating them.
Right. And I mean, you look at what the recent study that they did was 65% of America can't afford a $400 emergency.
Mm-hmm.
That really speaks volumes, Sam.
Oh, it does. I mean,
that is the average American right there. And why is that? Again, because of policies that have caused us to have massive inflation. You print money and give it out willy-nilly, you just caused inflation.
Yep.
That's literally the definition of it.
Yep. You see, Democrats, they're out there running around, and their answer to this is, well, we'll send you a check.
Right, right.
Okay, instead of actually changing the policies mm-hmm. that will allow you wages to increase,
right,
that will allow you to gain the skills
right.
to be able to get a better job and move forward in your career, to lower the cost of higher education so your student loans aren't so high. Look at what they're doing. And Biden's taking in illegally, because the Supreme Court ruled he wasn't permitted to do this, wanting to give folks a student loan. They call it cancellation or forgiveness. It's not forgiving anything. That bill will come due. It has to be paid by somebody. And it's going to be paid by people who never went to college.
That's right.
He's bailing out folks who, many of them, on graduate degrees. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a report that many of the folks that are receiving this, like 75%, you know, make like $300,000 a year.
Mm, correct.
Okay. And while he's spending here almost $1 trillion in doing all this, the big problem is, folks, he's not taking and lowering the cost of higher education by a single dime. That's the problem.
Right.
You know? So what about, he spends all this money this year and next for this, but what happens about the kids who go to school next year or the year after that?
Correct.
Or the year after that?
I'm just wondering if I'm going to get a rebate from my college. You know, I spent $100,000 there. I'm going to have to pay that back on my own.
Yeah, so. same here, right? I mean, yeah, what is he doing for the folks that went to school and paid
exactly
their loans? And again, but particularly the people that didn't go to college.
Right.
They couldn't afford to go. So mm-hmm. you couldn't afford to go to college and you're working any other type of job, but now you're going to get the bill for someone that did.
Right.
How in the world is that fair?
It definitely isn't. Definitely isn't. You know, again, I think that when I was in college, my parents had just started their business. And boy, Sam, we worked full time at that business and I went to college full time. And I paid all of that money back myself. Nobody did that for me. My parents didn't do it. I did that. And I did that by going out and working. So I just wonder where they expect everybody else to get this extra money, because college is every year you see Pitt will put something up and says, "Up, we're going up about $1,500 this year." how does the average person afford to continue to pay that? Right? You're taking college and putting it out of reach for people. But meanwhile, our professors are making $150,000 and $200,000 a year. I'm not begrudging you for being a successful professor, but the problem is that money comes from the students.
Right.
Right? And that's how those bills get so high. So we've got to equalize things a little bit.
Well, it comes from the students, and it's also coming from the taxpayers.
That's right.
When you look at how these universities, many of them are having their hands out for the state legislature mm-hmm. to give them hundreds of millions of dollars every year under the promise that they'll keep tuition low.
Yes.
But it keeps increasing over and over again.
Not,
you know?
Not to steal the left's wording here, Sam, but I'm just wondering when the colleges are going to pay their fair share. Because honestly, what they're producing versus what it's costing us, the imbalance is great. You get out of college and you're making $40,000 or $50,000 a year. How are you paying off $130,000, $200,000 worth of student loan debt?
Well, you can't. And then when you combine that with what they've done, what the Democrats have done with the mortgage rates
mm-hmm.
because of inflation.
Absolutely.
It's
crushing.
It puts housing out of
right.
reach. I mean, really, you know, you've heard a lot of talk over the past couple of years about how the American dream is slipping away mm-hmm. for many of us. This generation is the first generation in which their children are not necessarily going to be better off than they were.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. And it's because of this crushing debt.
It is.
That these folks are foisting upon us. And we need to take and relieve that debt,
mm-hmm.
both at the federal and the state level. And that so it, I, like yourself, am very happy and pleased to see that the state Senate Republicans mm-hmm. put forth a proposal to return some of that rainy day money
right.
to the people who rightly deserve it, and those are the taxpayers.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about all these things we agree on, Nathan. Now, I don't live in McCandless or in the 30th District. Otherwise, I would vote for you. And I would vote early and by mail.
Yes.
Okay. But what are you guys doing as far as talking to your folks about doing just that? I mean, you know, it's legal to vote up to 50 days before the election.
Yes.
And you can vote in person at your elections office, mm-hmm. or you can vote early by absentee or mail-in ballot.
Yes.
Are you pushing those?
We are, particularly in the last month or so that we've been out. We're just encouraging people to, hey, listen, we understand things happen. Sometimes you're planning on going to vote on election day, but something comes up and you're just not able to make it. It is a way to bank your vote. Another thing that we don't tell people too often about, but we probably should, Sam, is all those calls that you get and pieces of mail that you get and texts that you get magically stop when you mail in that vote, because they don't have to spend that money soliciting the voter any longer. And they know that. So it is another way to get those calls and texts to stop. You mail in that vote, you've addressed the issue.
Well, that's fantastic. And I am a huge proponent of taking and voting by mail solely because I want to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to vote and have their voice be heard. You know, you can go to our website at Allegheny.gop. That's Allegheny.gop. You can sign up to be a volunteer. You can donate money if you don't have the time to, but you want to help. There are links there for mail-in voting, or you can go direct to the website skipthelinepa.vote. That's skipthelinepa.vote. Okay? And you have the ability. It'll take you right to where you need to go to be able to apply online for a mail-in or absentee ballot. It will tell you where your elections office is if you would like to vote early. And it'll give you all the information. There are videos showing you how the process works and answering all of your questions about that. If you have any additional questions, you're welcome to call our offices at 412-458-0068. And John or any of our volunteers will be happy to get the answers to your questions to you. So folks, this election coming up in November is incredibly important to our region. You know, I say region, it's important to our country. We've had our southern border has been wide open for the last 3.5 years. It's estimated that 10 million illegal immigrants have come across that border. There are many Americans out there, just like Lake and Raleigh, who are no longer alive today because of the people that were led into this country and not held accountable. You have a Venezuelan, a criminal, but in New York, shot two officers
yes.
who were trying to pull him over on a scooter. Folks, I mean, you can't begin to look at all the problems that we have today and believe that this country is headed in the right direction. And 70% of you do agree with me that we're not going in the right direction. So what do you do when we're not? You change. You need to go out in November. You need to vote Republican. And we need to change course and start putting the ship of the Commonwealth and the ship of our country back on the right track. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure getting to learn a little bit more about you, getting to know you better. And I hope our listeners have had the opportunity to get to know you better. Folks, you want to help Nathan, go to wolfpa.com, WOLFEPA.com. He's a great guy, needs the help. The left is not going to give up power easily. They're going to outspend us 10 to 1. But we have better candidates, we have better ideas, and we have you out there supporting us. Until next week, from all of us here on The Elephant in the Room, I wish you a great weekend. Have a great weekend. And, you know, stay dry. This is Sam DeMarco, The Elephant in the Room, signing off at WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great day.